On the night when Jesus was born, the skies over Bethlehem exploded with the song of angels, announcing the good news that a Savior had been born, who was Christ the Lord. And hundreds of miles to the east, across barren deserts and rugged mountains, in the land of Babylon or Persia, wise men with their eyes on the skies. The Bible calls them magi, astrologers. They watched in wonder as a new star appeared in the heavens, signifying the birth of a king. This star would set them on a journey that would change the course of their lives, the journey all the way to Bethlehem. In our passage today, the story of the wise men, we see that the birth of Jesus prompts a variety of responses. Whether it's the journey of the Magi seeking something that is worthy of worship, whether it's the fear and the anger of a jealous King Herod who lashes out in a murderous rage, or even the indifference of the religious leaders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, who appear in our story only to quote the Bible and then fade back into the comfort and security of their positions in Jerusalem. The question that we're left to consider is, how will we respond to the birth of our Savior and King? Will we join the Magi on their journey to Bethlehem? First of all, the response of the Magi to the birth of Jesus and the appearance of his star is one of seeking. The Magi are such fixtures in our Christmas story that we may be tempted to forget that they are clearly outsiders to the people of Israel. These are foreigners who come from distant lands, and practitioners of magic and astrology at that, forbidden and abhorrent practices among God's people. And yet, apparently, they alone notice the star shining in the sky, calling out to them from their distant lands. By Matthew's account, the birth of Jesus went largely unnoticed among his own people and those who were closest to him, until these foreign visitors arrive on the scene many months later, to the confusion and bewilderment of the people of Jerusalem. These magi were men who had access to wealth and power. They weren't kings themselves, as the song would have it, but perhaps advisors to kings, who saw something. They experienced something that compelled them to leave behind their lives of comfort and privilege and undertake this long and difficult journey over field and fountain, moor and mountain, to seek the child that the stars had told them about, a king who had been born. Unlike Anna and Simeon, who are highlighted in Luke's gospel among the first to greet the Christ child, righteous and faithful individuals who had been waiting for years for the consolation of Israel, these magi were outsiders to the faith, foreigners and strangers, to use Paul's language, pagans, worshipers of other gods. And yet their honest seeking, their journey of faith, brings them into our story. Among the first people from all nations and tribes and peoples and languages whom Jesus would draw to himself. It should be noted that the journey of the Magi was like any true spiritual journey, not necessarily linear. Their methods are unorthodox, to say the least. They make mistakes. They encounter dead ends along the way, Herod's palace foremost among them. Their journey takes a long time. But ultimately, these foreign astrologers, these magi from the east, find what they're looking for. Something, someone to worship. And when they find him, they bring their very best. Their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh were costly treasures fit for a king that represent the best that they had to offer. The wise men in this story represent all true seekers after God, those to whom God has promised in Jeremiah 29 that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Like the Magi, such seekers after God may not always be found in the church or among the righteous. Their spiritual journeys may be filled with dead ends and wrong turns and unorthodox practices, but nevertheless, they're seeking something, someone worthy of worship. And this story in the Gospel of Matthew insists that they have a place among God's people. You can contrast the response of the Magi with that of King Herod. His response is one of what? Anger and fear. When the Magi arrive in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" with somewhat less discretion than the situation probably called for, it says that Herod was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. While the Magi may naturally have assumed that the palace was a place to search for a newborn king, Herod was quick to perceive a threat to his power and his authority. As one commentator observes, an angry and threatened Herod was a danger to all around him. See, Herod didn't come to the throne by birth. He wasn't even Jewish. But through political intrigue and shifting alliances, he gained the favor of the powerful in Rome and had himself proclaimed king. Once established, he ruthlessly eliminated any threats to his rule, from political rivals to members of his own family. Herod then had no interest in welcoming and worshiping a newborn king of the Jews, but in protecting his own power and position at all costs. He would think nothing of slaughtering even innocent children if it would serve his purposes. Herod, in this passage, is angry and he is afraid. And people who are afraid of losing power and position can lash out and do terrible things to try to hold on to that power. In Herod's case, he ordered all the baby boys in Bethlehem and the surrounding area to be killed in order to protect his sole claim to the title of king. It was only by divine intervention that Mary and Joseph were able to escape with Jesus to Egypt. Many families were not so fortunate. It's not lost on me that Epiphany, January 6th, that when we tell this story every year, now shares a date with the attack on the Capitol 3 years ago. I don't want to get lost in a political minefield here, but there's certain segments in our society today that may go by the name Christian, but share more affinity with the ways of Herod than the ways of Jesus. They put more stock in political power and influence than the pursuit of Christ. And what I would say, for the sake of our discipleship, if nothing else, is this. Beware those forces that would seek to stoke anger and fear in us in this, the year 2024. Because Herods, no matter what age they come in, always seek to use those to their advantage. And they invariably turn us away from Christ and towards something else, something more insidious. The final word on the Magi in our story is that they refused to allow themselves to be used by Herod for his purposes. They returned to their country by another route. They didn't go back and report to them about what they'd found. If at the end of this year we Christians are able to say that we refused to be used and manipulated, didn't fall victim to anger and fear, but chose to go a different way and kept our focus on Christ, I believe we will have done well. But there's a third group of actors in this story. And that's the religious leaders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And their response to this news about the birth of the Messiah is largely one of indifference. Herod himself wasn't particularly religious, despite his massive investment in the reconstruction of the temple, which was really just a way to curry favor among the people, and especially the religious elite. So when the Magi arrived asking, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews?" Herod turned to those who were supposed to know the scriptures. "In Bethlehem," In Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. What's so sad to me about this particular group is that they knew the scriptures. They knew where to look. They'd even heard that the Magi had seen his star, that they believed that the time was now, and that they'd come all this way to worship him. And yet the religious leaders never left Jerusalem, never even bothered to walk the 5 or 6 miles down the road to the city of David to see for themselves. The tragedy of the religious leaders is that they are just as content behind the walls of Jerusalem as many Christians are today behind the walls of the church. So well established in our religious beliefs and practices, so comfortable and secure in their position and the way things were, that they had no use for the Magi or their knowledge of the stars, and ultimately they had no use for Jesus. While the Magi eagerly lead the way to Jesus, all the religious leaders do is quote the Bible and then disappear into the background of the story. My concern for the church in our time is that we might have become so content with our answers that we dismiss those who come seeking, like the Magi, along with their questions and doubts. My concern is that we might become so secure in our habits, so focused on maintaining our cherished programs and institutions, that we can miss where Jesus can be found outside our walls. Most of the action in this story takes place in Jerusalem, in the questions and the conversations and the interrogations that take place between the Magi and Herod and the religious leaders. But only the Magi make the journey to Bethlehem. On this final stage, they are led by the star to the very house where the child was. God is active in drawing them to Jesus, in leading them on the way. And here their seeking at last becomes following. But we have to choose to make the journey. It's a journey that takes humility. To bow down and worship a child who's not where we might prefer to find him, in a grand temple or an ornate palace, but in a simple dwelling in a small town and in all the everyday places along the way. But it's a journey that's full of joy. The Magi were overjoyed when they saw the star leading their way. Not just when they reached their destination, mind you, but on the way. It's a journey that is filled with joy. So let's join in the journey as we begin a new year to seek and to follow, to worship and to rejoice together. O come ye, to Bethlehem. Amen.